Today on the Lady Boss podcast, we are so lucky to hear from Dawn McKenna of the Dawn McKenna Group. She is a global brand in real estate and has amassed $3 billion in real estate transactions in Illinois and Southern Florida. I can't wait for you to hear her story. People in for a treat today. Thanks for being here.
It's my pleasure.
You're my absolute sales legendary idol. You have grown an incredible company, and I want to hear all about it because honestly, from where you're from, this is pretty unexpected.
Yes.
So tell me, you know, everybody wants to start a business when they're kind of bred like us, but how'd you pick real estate?
Well, it's kind of funny because I'm from the south side of Chicago, and I think you knew that. My dad was a school teacher. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. And my mom always said, like, why are you going to college? It's just such a waste of money. You have to take a loan out, because I had to take a loan for 4 years of college. And she's like, whatever you turn, it's going to turn to gold. Just get a loan and start selling. And it's kind of sad because my mom passed away when she was 52, so she never saw the career I built, but it was kind of true. I did wind up going to U of I to follow my husband, who was my then high school sweetheart, which is a lot of the reason I've been so successful. I believe that that you really need a team. And my whole life, I had people next to me, you know, whether it was my mom or dad or my sister pushing me to the front of the line, or when I was down, picking me back up. And I think a lot of what the secret to my success is that I counted on others around me. I focused on one thing that I'm really good at. I'm really good at engaging people. I enjoy it. It's not a job for me. When I'm on the phone or crunching a deal, people are like, oh my God, you work 24 hours a day. I don't know why I don't feel like that now. Yes, 20% of this job is absolute hell, okay, for sure. But most of the time, it's about engagement. And that's what I do naturally, and I just like it. So I think the secret, the one thing that I did that a lot of people don't do is I stuck in my own lane. I didn't try to do it all.
Okay.
I'm just telling you.
Start in your own line and not do it all. So I think we have a lot of things in common. One is we have our business partner and love partner and husband of multiple decades for both of us, you know, is really in our corner and working with us along the way in some capacity. And I think that I know for me for sure that has been 100% the reason for a lot of my success, because all the things I'm bad at, Larry handles. And I think you've got somewhat of a similar situation, and obviously with your staff. But when you decided you were going to sell stuff, because that was really engaging people is selling stuff, was real estate, you know, low barrier to entry financially at that time? You know, you hadn't amassed what you'd amassed, or was it passion for the home? What really drew you to that specific place to start getting in your lane?
Well, I remember as a young girl going to open houses with my mom. She loved it. So we would go to open houses, never, ever intending to buy anything, but we'd go home and like redo the house. And I really loved that. So out of college, I was in trust administration at the Northern Trust, and it was great. I got married, I had kids, but my real passion was design and fashion. So I decided to become a decorator. I was an English major at U of I. I don't have a license in decorating or design, but I just have a good eye. And I learned a lot of that from my mom. A lot of it's natural too. But so what happened was I kind of got into this routine of buying houses and flipping them. So I would like do a number on my own house and flip it. So I knew a lot of the real estate community, and I understood what it was like to get your house prepped, show your house, run out for showings when the kids are in the tub. It's never coming at a good time. So I had a very relatable sense about me because I had experienced it. So we moved into this large house at the time, and my husband's a lawyer. So my husband doesn't work with me or for me. If he sees this, he's going to be like, pro bono, what the heck? Because I go on my 20-minute walks with him every day, and he like downloads what I should be doing, or have you thought about this, or scalability. He's a general counsel. He was the CEO of companies, and he's done a lot of selling companies, promoting companies. And so he helped me understand like the business of real estate more than anything else. But when we bought this big house, he was going downtown every day. He was a partner in a law firm. And he was like, yo, like, this is a big house. We are taking one room at a time. Like, we can't do the whole thing at one time. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. There was this $22,000 Studio H couch at Holly Hunt. Because remember, I was a decorator at the time. So I was going a lot to the Mart, meeting people at the Mart. That's how I met O'Brien Harris, Laura O'Brien, through the Mart. And I was doing like 3 to 4 jobs a year. So I could buy a handbag at the end of the year. But it really taught me a lot, actually. Yeah. It really, I mean, talk about, you know, what is that, the saying, luck favors the prepared. I prepared through that whole endeavor of being a decorator. And so I saw this couch and my husband was like, $22,000, are you crazy? And it is crazy. I mean, like, it's ridiculous. I wouldn't do that even today. But at the time it was like what I thought would like anchor our family room. So I was like, wait a minute. If I get my license and sell one house a year, it's $1 million. I get 2.5%. That's 25 grand. Like, I can buy this couch. This is what I thought. So I got my license in 5 days. So there was this accelerated program that, and remember, mind you, like, I had 4 kids at home that I hadn't talked to you about, but this was when they were 8, 6, 4, and 2. I didn't even have a babysitter, okay? So my husband took the week off, and I'm like, I just want to get my license. So I like ate Taco Bell every day, stayed in the same sweats, went to school 9 to 5, and then studied 5 to midnight every night, and then took the test on Friday. And I mean, you guys, I was biting my nails, counting my, you know, net gross, commission, I mean, you name it. I was a basket case, but I got it. And we all went to dinner and we're like, Mom got her license. This is so great. And I'm like, now what? So the next day I was thinking, at the time I used a realtor that was awesome. She was great. She found us many good deals. I think I bought 7 houses through her, and I phoned her. I got my license and I phoned her up, and this is a true story. I obviously won't mention her name because it's not a very favorable way to react, but it kind of fueled me. And I called her up and I said, listen, is this uncut? Can I swear on this? Maybe not. Okay. So I was like, listen, I will be your, you know what, and I'll go turn on lights for you. I can bring people to you. I'll be your assistant. I don't care. Like, I really want to get into real estate. And she said, and I quote, lots of luck to you. And she hung up on me. Huh. Okay. And I was like, wow, I'd given her so much business personally, but also I'm just the kind of person that if I see something, I'm like, oh my God, you should get these Fendi shoes. They're $280 at Home Goods. Like, I would call you to tell you that. That's just me.
Yeah.
And it really bothered me because I thought, wow, all right, well, I guess I got to do this by myself. This is how this is going to be. So at the time, everything was like boutique firms. And the market, this was in 2003. So the market wasn't awesome. That's what people don't realize. It didn't get awesome for a little bit. And then it was like a 2-year awesomeness. And then it went down. And I thought, God, if I were selling my house right now, what would I want? I would want a national brand, a worldwide brand. I'd want a broad stroke, the most exposure I can get. I'm not going to do this boutique firm thing. No one knows what the heck so-and-so is when they're coming from Greenwich or they're coming from New York, but they do know Coldwell Banker. So I walked in there with 4 kids with no babysitter. I'll never forget it. And let me go backwards. I went to church the day before. Okay. I went to Coldwell Banker, and a friend of a friend said, hey, I heard you got your license. I said, I did. And I don't have anywhere to put it yet. And she said, why don't you come to Coldwell Banker? You are going to be so good. I had no idea she made money off that. I didn't care. She was at Coldwell Banker. She was so nice. Mm. And upon the heels of somebody not being that open, I was like, yeah, I'll come to Coldwell Banker. So I moseyed on in there with my 4 kids. And I'm like, I'm not taking this job that seriously. I really want to buy a couch. She looked at me like an idiot. She's like, okay, it's $3,200 to join because you got all these fees. I was like, oh. Okay, now I got to buy two
couches and now 2
gotta
houses.
Now I got to sell 2 houses. So anyway, what happened was I had so much experience being a buyer and a seller that I just sat and brainstormed of like what I would want to do, and I went crazy. And so when I would be at my kids' ball games, you know, there's so much, I had a baseball player, so there's so much downtime, I would like like when they weren't pitching or weren't catching or whatever, I'd go to open houses and I'd come back. And then people would be like if you and I were at a ball game and like say there was a rain out, there's a 2 hour, I'd be like, all right, I'm out of here. I really want to see these two houses. They're awesome. I got to have a buyer for that. And you would say, I'll go with you.
How many houses did you sell in the first year?
From May to December, 12. And I had done, I think it was 28 million. This is funny. I had no babysitter. So I am not kidding when I say I would be pulling up and they're like, you guys, don't get out of the car. Don't get out of the car unless somebody is bleeding. I'll be right back. Because by then they were getting older. And I was like looking out the window, running in the house, showing the house, coming back out. I mean, it was a circus.
So you're able to get your 28 couches that year.
No.
And you knew you were onto something because you obviously had exceeded your goal by 28. And then when did it happen where you started realizing you could scale it and hire people under you and become what I call as a boutique firm inside of Coldwell Banker? So you're the Don McKenna Group inside of a big company, you know, businesses like mine, we don't have a house, so to speak. We are the house, but you have a holding company that you work as part of. When did you go from Don McKenna selling 28 houses, 52, to having this entire team?
That's a good question. So 5 years ago. That's okay. What's crazy. Okay, this has become a like basically a conglomerate in 5 years. What I did when I joined in 2003 is I hired an assistant. I brought an assistant before I even brought on a consistent babysitter. I didn't even have a computer, and I still don't. I don't know how to send an attachment. I can figure it out, Courtney, okay? But at the end of the day, I'm about engaging. So what I did was I picked my battles. Instead of trying to figure out like how to take the pictures, how to put the listing into the computer, how to do ads, I just said, no. I'm not going to do that because it's just going to bog me down. It's like minutia. And I think a lot of people are too cheap. If you think about it, I spent a bunch of money before I made my first, real money.
Yeah.
And I invested in me. And I didn't even realize it. I invested in my business, and I wasn't looking at it like, oh, if I invest in this, I'll get that money back or make more. I just said, what will make me better? What will make me more powerful and me better to serve you?
Yeah.
And so that was it. And so my first ad, my first assistant, so I started, I think, May 13th, and I had assistant by May 30th.
Oh, wow.
Because I had three people like you that trusted me that said, I want you at my front door. I don't want anybody else. Mm-hmm. I want you at my front door. And I was happy to do it. And I was the first person to do full page ads. I was the first person to do videos, like in Illinois. Nobody was doing that because it's expensive. I mean, to do a full page ad is anywhere from $800 to $2,500.
Yeah.
I didn't care. I hated when I saw one of my houses and I'm like, God, it's like this small and it looks like a haunted house. Like I didn't like the lighting. I was very particular about how things look because that's your first showing.
Yeah.
So I came in the office one day and my assistant, even still today, she's on my team. She's 82. I brought her on when she was 62 and she was in the office really late. And I said, what are you doing? She said, oh, she was really upset. Someone had mistreated her or something. And she was everybody's assistant. She's like, I just want to work for one person. I don't ever want to sell. I don't want my name in a marquee. I just love like the computer. I was an accountant. I'm like, oh, you're my girl. So I brought her on. So I've never signed a contract ever. I've never signed a seller's contract, listing contract. I've never put a listing into the computer. I've never done any of that. Put a listing in the open house, never done anything.
I know personally that I've often, in retrospect, first business I started, I sold in 6 years. And I felt like I could have gone even faster had I not invested incrementally. So you invested without even sales. I would always sell something, invest, sell more, invest, sell more, invest. So that's just a totally different strategy. And when you took your thing to like this global powerhouse that you are, which I'm blown away to know was only 5 years ago, and I think is so powerful for our listeners because I write constantly in those five journals and people are like, oh, 5 years, what can you do in 5 years? a hell of a lot is what you can do in 5 years. So what happened at this mark 5 years ago? So we were in, 2018, where I think the market was decent, but not off the charts like it was just right after that. What made you say, okay, I've got to have people in Florida and people in Lake Forest and people in Winnetka and all these outposts that you have today?
My clients. So what happened was I gave my clients a different experience than they had ever had with any realtor they had ever worked with, not just in Illinois, just like whether they were in Arizona or Florida or wherever they were. And so they were constantly calling me to ask me my advice. Do you like this house? I mean, someone flew me out to Phoenix. I wasn't even licensed. Like, it was a constant where I was constantly being brought into this. Then my kids were then, yesterday was my son's 29th birthday. So they're 7 years apart from top to bottom. So they're like 28 to 21 now. And so they started graduating from college and their friends started calling me saying, hey, Mrs. McKenna, can you find me an apartment or whatever? It was like timing was great. I did not know. I was just a housewife selling houses. And I still am just a housewife selling a house. And I'm proud of it. I mean, my kids made me the person I am today, which is kind of interesting because here we are on this earth thinking that we are mothering our kids. But you cannot believe how much I've learned from them. I mean, down to Instagram. They're like, Mom, you have to do Instagram. I'm like, I'm not doing that. Now I'm like, get that on Instagram. Are we going to do a reel? I mean, it's a joke. I'm 53 years old. It's a joke. But so what happened was in Florida, we bought a house about 9 years ago in Naples, Florida. And when you're a realtor, say you said, okay, I want a house in Naples. I would say, hey, I've got a guy. So my people were always like the top three agents that I had relationships with, that I knew were powerful, that had access for you, that had experience and knowledge, not just a one-hit wonder. And so I was giving all of these people in Naples these referrals because I was getting so many through Chicago, through my own clients. And they were coming up short. And I was getting, they were calling me back, he or she didn't respond. I don't trust, they're not giving me the advice I need. Yeah. I've got some assistant showing up at the house that has never been in the house. I mean, it was just constant. And usually you get a referral when you refer somebody. Yeah. And then you usually, like if a realtor refers me something, I keep them updated. I say, oh, Courtney and her husband really like this house. And their check's in the mail. They get 25% of my commission and we're done. This was so much involvement on my part. I thought, this is crazy.
Yeah.
So I had somebody that had five new constructions in Naples 5 years ago that I gave her two people and they just fell short. And she's like, well, you just please get a team here. I trust you and I love your marketing. You have this huge, powerful network. I just know with your fairy dust, this is going to sell. And I swear to God, I was taking that Florida test. My brother-in-law, Ardell, was like stomping our sign in the ground. At the same time, one of my daughter's very good friends from grade school called me and said, hey, I really want to be a realtor. I said, get your license. Oh, I already did. Okay. She went to Miami of Ohio. I said, get a job at Miami of Ohio while you're there. Internship? Yeah, I already did that for a year. I'm like, okay, forget it. Come on. And we just stepped on the gas. And what I did that I think really helped in terms of authenticity and just sheer passion was I didn't look at what anybody else did ever. I never looked at someone else's paper or I never looked in the newspaper and said, okay, what kind of ad is doing? What kind of ad is she doing? I kind of want to copy that. I never did that. I just put blinders on and said, what do I think I would want if I were on any of these sides? And that's what happened. And it exploded. So we started in Naples with $38 million of product. Okay. And for that client, I'm forever grateful. I really am because they had faith in us. And when you do that, the rest comes.
That's right. I mean, it is the classic business story that if you are really engaged with your clients, they take you where you're supposed to go.
Exactly.
I mean, it might have been Naples, it might have been Arizona, it might have been San Francisco. They told you it was Naples and you built around it. And I've had so many awesome opportunities over the years. But, if you would have just picked Charleston and they wanted Naples, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. But this is crazy. Here you're in Winnetka and that was our last region that we acquired because of Naples. So we had so many relationships that we had built through the first 2 years of Naples, and most of them were from the North Shore. Yeah. So they started saying, oh my gosh, we loved the DMG experience. We, you know, it's all about how you feel when you're with us and how much education we can give you. And we talk a lot of people out of a lot of things. If it's not the right thing, we don't want you to buy it, because if we want you to sell it again and we want you to make money so you can go to the next one. We don't want any unhappy customers. And so what happened was, you know, from Wilmette to Lake Forest just exploded because they had the Naples experience and they wanted that here. So it was just kind of interesting. And even in the city, what happened is we started the first rental program, and all my kids were having such a hard time renting in Chicago. I said, girls, why don't we just pitch to all the colleges my kids went to and you guys went to? So we did Northwestern, University of Michigan, Notre Dame, Miami of Ohio, all these schools. And now we are the official rental company for these rising kids. So then my husband made me think. He's like, Dawn, you're getting them, you're seeing a full cycle of life. You look at it as a nest. You're helping them with their first nest, like finding their first nest, filling their nest when they come out to the burbs, and then emptying their nest when they go to Florida. It's wild. So you would not believe how many stories and testimonies we had from rental all the way to the parents retiring. It's cool.
That's awesome. I mean, the life cycle of a customer is so powerful. So what the question I have about your business model is, why do you need Coldwell Banker?
Well, that's a great question. I'll tell you why. So what happens when you're a brokerage, again, is there's a lot of minutia. There's a lot of money handling. There's a lot of paperwork. There's a lot of record keeping. So when you're at my level where you're doing, I don't know, 600 to a million in volume a year, that's a big paper trail, and that's a lot of money.
600 million to a billion. Let's get those numbers
A billion. You're right. What am I saying? Yeah. That's a lot of transactions.
Yeah.
And frankly, at my level, it's a very little price I have to pay to get that back office support. So that's number one. That's an internal thing. But that's actually not number one, but that's number one internally. Okay. It's easier. But the biggest thing is I'm very close to Ryan Gorman, our CEO, and Ryan Schneider, the CEO of Realogy, and David Marine, the CMO of Coldwell Banker. I mean, these are very, very powerful players in the industry. Coldwell Banker is the number one, so is Realogy, real estate holding company in the world. So what that has allowed me, because I've been the number one agent in Illinois for so long, as a team and by myself, I've built these amazing relationships with the top 1% in the country. So like, for instance, like Jade Mills, she's in LA, or Beverly Hills. She's the number one agent and has been there for 30 years. Or the Jills in Miami, or Corcoran. These people have become really good friends of mine.
Yep.
And our kids are friends, because we're all about the same age, between like 50 and 65. And so it's been awesome to be able to network with the best of the best, share best practices, but also have an unbelievable deal flow and referral system.
Okay.
So when
that makes sense.
Here's the other thing. You talk about data. Everyone is data centric, metrics, the data. All these people that use that word so loosely. I mean, in order to have big data, you have to have a company like Coldwell Banker. Some of these others, and I won't say who, but like new people on the block or that you might think have big numbers, but when compared to Coldwell Banker, it's like an eighth of what they do. That's not big data. So when I'm seeing trends and understanding needs and wants of clients, or how long they sit on a page, or a move meter of when they're about to move, you can't get those data sources unless they're huge, many, many, many billions and billions of transactions.
Yep.
That's why I do it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think it's not too dissimilar in a private business where you sell to private equity to kind of get yourselves into a bigger pond and have bigger resources. So I like hearing about that. One thing, all right, so we get to the pandemic, and the two places I just need you to tell me and fill me in are the pandemic, just changes in the market, and then I want to talk about social media for a minute. What happened to your business in 2020?
So it was interesting. All my kids quarantined in Naples. So my husband and I were at my lake house in Michigan because we have elderly parents. And I'll never forget March 17th. We were there. And, you know, everybody was panicked. And my husband, I said, is a big influence on me. And he was like, you know, you never lead in fear. This is an amazing opportunity. Just dive in. And he was right. And so I got on a Zoom with my whole team. This was before anybody even, I didn't even know what the hell Zoom was before March 17th. I'm just saying that. And then I think if people are really looking at themselves in the mirror, not many of us did. And we got on and I said, you guys, all these people, you could see all these people canceling their listings or taking them temporarily off on the MLS. I'm like, we're not doing any of that. We are going to lean into this. This is going to be an amazing opportunity. Everybody's scared to death. We are the only ones that have a major, major influence in the city, major influence in the suburbs, both north and, you know, west, and in Florida. We've got a Democratic state here. We've got Republican there. We've got freezing cold here. We've got warm there. We've got this. We're going to do this. We're going to get a postcard to every single door front saying, this is what we're doing. We're going to have pictures of all of us on Zoom. We can do this. We will get through this. And that's what we did. And we leaned into it. And I have to say, like, what do you call that? High tide rises all boats. We did this in all of our communities. And we kind of, any realtor that would listen and that would be, let's say, in it to win it with us, we carried them too. We were like, we got this. Let's have a thing. Let's do this. We can FaceTime people. We were running around. I never in my life worked so hard than I did in 2020, ever.
Really?
We were FaceTiming people. We sold so many houses off FaceTime. People were leaving California, coming back home. I had people that were in the city that were quarantining with their parents, and they were like, freaked out. They didn't want to move to the suburbs. And all of a sudden they were like, oh my God, this is what the lifestyle is. And then I was doing trades with people my age to go to the city because they wanted like a pied-à-terre here and then buy a place in Naples. So what was really crazy is my original strategy was to hedge. If the city was good, maybe the suburbs weren't that good, or if things were going well in Florida, maybe they weren't going as well in Illinois. The truth is, in 2020 and 2021, every single thing we touched, every single territory we touched, we set records and hit jackpots. And so the rest was kind of history. So even today, they are all thriving, even though the market's cooled off a bit.
Yeah, so it's cooled off and we have, you know, very high inflation numbers. Are you seeing that in the housing market?
This is interesting. So think about this. Yes. I mean, is this the ideal economy? No. I mean, inflation, what, 9.1? We've got fuel prices at an all-time high. One thing I will tell you is we're still at an all-time low in every market, from the North Shore to the luxury suburban, western suburban market, to the city market, to Naples. One thing is the common denominator. We don't have any good inventory, and new construction is very low and not much in queue. Why? Because it's hard to acquire land and it's super expensive to build. So a lot of the speculative builders are in the waiting room, and a lot of the people like you that say, okay, maybe I want to build a house, are so busy from 2 years of whatever the heck happened in your business that they don't want to wait. So it's just really interesting. I think there's going to be a huge trend for buying vintage houses or houses that were built between 1995 and 2005 because they have the floor plans people are looking for. They have the tall ceilings and the good basements, but they just need a complete hit refresh. I'm doing that in Naples. My team was yelling at me, you have to capitalize on the market too. How could... You know, you got to put your best foot forward. You're telling everybody else to do, but you're not doing it. So they convinced me to sell my house. And it was like a jackpot. I sold my house for a crazy number. And I was like, this is so great, until I had to buy. and so we stepped up in location. But I bought my last house in Naples was 1998. And this house that I just bought was 1998. And some, if you kind of clocked 100 people, 90 would say it was a teardown. But it's not. Yeah. Just wait. Just wait on that.
We'll get back on that. The design genes are coming through.
Yeah.
All right. So talk to me about touch on social media, how that really drives business for you more than I get it that it's the first showing and all that. How do you really get more customers through your social media?
Okay. So when all this was going on, social media was like pretty much the only platform we could communicate with people besides Zoom. People were very Zoom. By December, people were so Zoom fatigued in 2020. So we were doing Instagram lives. We were videoing on Instagram. We were popping on and saying, hey, I know you guys are worried. I just have to tell you, I know you need homework rooms and the husband needs an office and the wife needs an office and this is the house for you. And sometimes you have to spoon feed people and it's like the perfect venue to do that on. And I used to think that it was so invasive. And the truth of the matter is, like, if you're an authentic person and you just let things go, like, I used to be like, oh my God, am I too shiny? I don't like my hair. Now I'm like, whatever. I don't care. Filter, no filter, just do it. It doesn't matter. And it's interesting because my most liked posts are always when I look the scariest. Like where I'm like, oh my God, if they could have saw like that my jeans are too tight, things are sticking out and no one cares because it's real. People want approachability. People want authenticity. In this world that we have where it's like it's Instagram versus reality and everybody's like, and posed, it sends a message that's not real. And that's what people hate. And so I think Instagram is probably like the best platform for anybody who's selling anything. And we get, we're doing these real talks now where we're like, hey, guys, like my kids were like, Mom, you were yelling on Instagram. Because I was trying to explain to people, like all these people that are using one-hit wonders or their cousin's twice-removed best friend, that they've never been here. That's why I have local experts. I don't sell in Winnetka. I've never lived in Winnetka. Katie lives in Winnetka. She reaches that 38-year-old, all these young kids, and then we're getting all these people from the city. And what people don't realize is when you jump on a Real Talk and say, hey, people, we have no inventory. You're looking for a house right now, and you only have two choices. Go with the person that has the most transactions under their belt, not just here, everywhere. Because what happened through the pandemic is they weren't just saying, I'm going to look in Winnetka or I'm going to look in Hinsdale. They just wanted to get a house with a pool that had space, that had good school systems. So they were looking everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so what happened is we have learned to lean in and just talk to people. And, you know, yes, it's fun to see a pretty house, but it's also these kind of homes. It's rare that we come in a home that we don't touch. You have to prep. It's just like us. I mean, this morning I didn't look like this.
Yeah.
Okay. You kind of have to work with what you've got, and we know how to do that. So I think that Instagram is probably something that I'm most proud of because it was a very authentic build. So I think we have almost 20,000 followers now, and they're all authentic. When everybody was like buying bots and buying things, I was like, God, that seems just such a fake thing. Like just so that likes. So I engage. And it's funny because, yes, I have my own marketing team. And yes, am I posting every day? No, they tell me what to do. Or I say, hey, you guys, I really want to promote this house. Or, hey, there's an event coming up. Or a friend of mine is doing something. I want to do this. But I think that what's very important is organic. Organic. There's no T in organic. Organic.
It's a new hot real estate tip. I think we just heard.
No, but guess what? Wait, and another thing. Wait, I have to tell you a word that I think definition. I don't even know if it's real world. Coopetition. That's another thing we learned, and this is for your industry. And I think people really, we all are competitors. Not you and me, but like all the brokers in this world, we're competitors. But at the end of the day, we need each other. Yeah. High tide all rises all boats. So I think at the end of the day, on social media, I've been able to cooperate with my competitors. And I've called it like coopetition. And it's like frenemies. You know what I mean? You're like, hey, I'll go on your Instagram and talk about this house. You get on my Instagram and talk about this house. There's been a lot of like co-branding that has gone along with things. It's just sort of interesting. But I think the DMs are important. The engagement is important. And I do most of it. That's the crazy thing. So when you DM me, yes, they alert me. Yo, Courtney, right in the DM. Got it. Okay. Oh, hey, I think that's cool or whatever. I think that's very important. And I think people know me from social media. You cannot believe I'm not that popular. I'm not like some movie star or anything like that. But you would not believe sometimes like I'm in an airport and they're like, oh my God, wait, I know you, because their mom follows me, or, you know, their kid is one of our rental people. And
oh, it's so good.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's come a long way.
The exposure is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, you have given us so many lessons. I mean, I think the things I heard the most are authentic. And I think that is what is so appealing to me about you. You just like, you've absolutely amassed this crazy success story, but you're still like, you know, part Southside from Chicago, yeah. Albeit dressed in Fendi now.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, talking about the team, talking about growth focus and staying in your lane. I think the success is that you've found something you were passionate and great at. Passionate and great. I think that's the killer combo. Doesn't feel like work. It's your golf. You do it all the time and you've just stuck in it for a couple decades and evolved. It's an absolute magic story. And I think you do have fairy dust. And I can't wait to see what the next 10 years brings.
I am so, thank you. You're so sweet. And right back at you. I mean, you haven't been sitting, eating,
No grass growing over here.
Yeah, macaroons, hanging out with your long cigarette at your pool. I know your work, you're fanning off. It's interesting. I want to leave you with something that I learned from my kids. And in my house, my husband's a real avid reader, and so are my kids. And there's a book called Make Your Bed. Have you read it?
No.
Okay, you got to read it. And for your listeners, they got to get it. And that was in our Christmas stockings every year. My husband would put a book in there, and it was Make Your Bed. And it's this Admiral McRaven.
Oh, yes, I have.
He was a Navy SEAL.
Awesome, and he has good YouTube.
Right. And it was interesting, though, because at the end of the day, it's all about, like, grab someone you want to share your life with or your business with, and you can't do it alone. Yeah. You need people in your boat, and there's no way we would be this successful without each and every member of my team. And I'm not saying I'm dead serious. Like, I would be devastated if any of one of them left, because they're like family to me and they share my vision and they want to do things that I want to do. And, you know, as I get, as this gets bigger and bigger and bigger, it's not like I'm like the, you know, whatever, Bart Simpson going like this into the bush. It's, I'm more of a mentor, I'm more of a coach, and I get more excited. I'm like, yeah, you got that. Great. You sold that house on Indian Hill, or you sold that beachfront. Like, great job. I'm excited because what the secret sauce is, they're actually like baking it and taking it out, and it's actually tasting better than what I did, which is the point.
Yeah.
It's called scalability.
And legacy.
Yeah.
Now on to my favorite part of the Lady Boss podcast, where we hit our interviewees with five questions that really were the game changers in their career, and we hope that you can use these to elevate your career. So Dawn, tell us, what is your favorite employee engagement tool?
I think live the life you want them to emulate.
Love that. All right. Buy Fendi in a G-Wagon.
No.
Okay, good. What would you recommend as your favorite business book you've read?
Make Your Bed. I read it all the time.
Awesome. Great one. Give us the best advice that your mentor told you over and over.
Embrace the word next. When something doesn't go your way, you turn the page and you say next and you move forward.
That's powerful. And what would you say is your superpower?
My energy.
Yeah, you got four people's worth. And if you had to tell the listeners one thing to do that would really move their business forward, what would it be?
Focus on the process and the results will come. I think too many of us just focus on the result. And I think it seems very arduous and tedious and long. So I'd say focus on the process. Don't focus on the result.
We all want to grow up and be as successful as you. You are absolutely fun to listen to. You've grown a great culture. And I know this is only scratching the surface.
Oh, please. You know me. I'm a sharer. I would love to do this again. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the Lady Boss Podcast.